I just don't think the world realizes what it's missing when it doesn't go to church on Sunday. There's just something powerful about coming together. And I've heard that verse that Steve shared about Jeremiah my whole life. I think it was one of the first verses I must have memorized as a little kid besides Psalm 23. But when you stop and listen to the words that he said, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." Don't let anybody tell you that God doesn't care about you individually. He says, "For I know the plans I have for you." Amen? And what kind of plans are they? They're good plans. Plans to prosper us and not to harm us, to give us a hope and a future. When the world tries to tell you that God is a mean God, he is not a mean God. He is not a mean God. His desires and plans for you are good. Say good.
Good.
Say hope. And future. Amen. Whew. Those are the kinds of things that sometimes we miss when we're going on in the busyness of life. And I know that listening, you know, online is good. But there is something about being in a service and being with other fellow believers that is just powerful. Powerful. When we were praising and worshiping, and I was looking out, and I saw some of the empty chairs, and I felt like the Lord said, "These chairs aren't empty. You have heavenly guests with you today that are here waiting to be a part of your worship." Amen. So there is something that happens. We've been learning how Jesus walks among his church. There is something powerful that happens that we don't want to, and I know that it's a challenging time, and I know that nobody wants to wear masks. I mean, who wants to wear a mask here or at the grocery store or anywhere else, right? But we can put that aside for a little bit just to come together and to be in his presence, because it changes us. You cannot be in the presence of the Lord and not be changed. You can't. I've seen it time and time again where even unbelievers will come in and sometimes they leave a little bit angrier. And it's not really because they're angry. It's because they've been in his presence and it's affecting them. They're faced with the reality of their own lives and the need for change. And the same is true as us for believers. If we'll walk in, you should never walk into a church service and go, "Oh, here we go again." From the time I was little, my mom always taught us, you can always learn something. Even from the dullest pastor out there, you can always learn something if you go in with the heart and the mind of, "Lord, I've come to learn from you today." Amen? Well, that was a little bonus. So now we're going to go to the offering. Go ahead and open up your Bibles to Proverbs 13 again. And this is in verse 22. It's a very famous verse. I'm sure you've heard it many times. And it says, "A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of a sinner is stored up for the righteous." I love the Passion's translation. It says this, "The benevolent man leaves an inheritance that endures to his children's children, but the wealth of the wicked is treasured up for the righteous." And benevolent means this is the kind of man that's being described here. Kind, well-meaning, big-hearted, bountiful, cheerful, pleasant, excellent. This is the kind of man that leaves an inheritance that endures. Say endures. When I was reading one commentary, guess what the example was that it gave? It said it's like a fountain. I thought, ha, we just learned about that a couple weeks ago. How as we give, we are releasing that fountain to keep flowing. Well, this is a fountain that doesn't stop after you leave this planet. This is talking about a fountain that just keeps going and going and blesses not only your children, but your children's children. And it's not just leaving an inheritance of money. Because you can leave an inheritance of money and your kids can end up like the next part of the verse where it talks about the wicked man whose treasures are stored up for the righteous, right? No, when you're talking about this kind of a man, this is a man who doesn't just pass along, a man or woman, it works both ways, but this is someone who passes along their love for the Lord and the reality that their finances are not what sustains them, that the Lord sustains them. So this person, you see them passing on this fountain This is not a new fountain. This is the fountain they've created that their kids have seen, that their grandkids have seen, and hopefully one day their great-grandkids will see. This fountain of giving, of blessing, of not letting things hold you, right? Not letting your money hold you, but you hold your money. Amen. So this is the inheritance that's talking about. And then the second part says, but the wealth of the wicked is treasured up. I love that part. If the wealth of the wicked is stored up is how I've always heard it. But the Passion says that's treasured up. Who doesn't like a treasure? Amen. And how many times have we seen huge corporations or men that have billions and billions of dollars and they pass away and it's gone? It's gone. Or they get all this treasure and they're storing it up, not for their kids, but they're storing it up for someone else. Who? The man before that, the righteous man, amen? So we want to make sure that our wealth, what we're leaving behind, the inheritance, the blessing, the legacy that we're leaving for our kids and our children's children, is one not only of prosperity, but listen again, kindness, well-meaning, big-hearted, bountiful, a cheerful giver, pleasant, and someone of excellence. This is who we want to be today. We want to be this first person. And you may be sitting there, because as I was reading it this morning, I thought, okay, Lord, I'll be working on this. But, and then all of a sudden he just stopped me. He said, no buts. No. This isn't about you going out and doing your part. This is about you doing what I've called you to do, and I will bring the blessing that will be able to be left for your children and your children's children. I said, thank you, Jesus. Woo! Amen. It's not about toiling and spending all of our time so we can't be with our kids and our grandkids. It's about receiving the blessings that he has for us, for sowing our seeds so that we reap a harvest, so that we can also pass that on to our kids. How many people have ever heard the song about the man that, just went out my head. Hold on. Oh. It's the story of the man who works all the time and he tells his son, I'll play with you later. Someday soon. I'll hang out with you someday soon. And then he gets to be an old man and he wants to spend time with his son. And son turns around and says the same thing. Hey, Dad, it's great to see you, but I gotta run. There's things to do. He taught his son great work ethics, but he forgot one small part. That all that work is nothing if there's no one to spend it with. And that's the legacy we don't want to have. We want to have the legacy that shows our kids, yes, you're a hard worker. Everything you put your hand to do, you work at it with all your heart as working unto the Lord. But you don't work so much that you can't make family a priority and you can't make that your God. And that's the balance here, is this man was a kind, well-meaning, big-hearted, cheerful, pleasant, excellent man who was walking with God, and the Lord provided enough for him right then, for his children, and the fountain that kept going to his children's children. And what a blessing that is to be able to be one of those who can do that. Amen? Because that's a legacy that's like the fountain. It just keeps going and going and going. You're big-hearted, you're a big giver, you're generous, you're kind, you're excellent. That passes on to your children, and then to your grandchildren, and to your children's children, and then to your children's children's children, and it keeps going and going and going. Amen? This is the inheritance we want to leave behind. Grab your tithes and offerings. Father, I just thank you so much for this word today. I thank you again, Father, for Proverbs, for the wisdom that we can find about finances. And Lord, I just thank you and I praise you that as you showed me, this isn't about going out there and just give it, get, do all you can, work all the time, do as much as you can. No, this is about the balance. It's about being right where God wants you to be, doing what he's called you to do, being a sower and a reaper. And Father, we just thank you that sometimes sowing can be easy, but it's the reaping part that can be harder. And I pray, Father, you give us wisdom. Show us areas that maybe we don't even know that we're not reaping, or maybe ways that we could be receiving and we're not receiving right now. We just ask, Father, that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear, because once again, Father, it's not just for us. It's for our children and our children's children, Father. It's a legacy that we want to leave behind us of walking with the Lord and him providing for our needs and then doing exceedingly and abundantly above so that we can give to every good work and they can learn that too, that they will be young men and women. And then later on, they will teach their children to be men and women who will give and have giving hearts, big-hearted hearts, hearts of excellence, Father, that don't hold on to their money and let that be their God. No, their wealth isn't going to be stored up for someone else. We just praise you, Father. This wealth is stored up for the kingdom of God to be a blessing to our families and a blessing to the family of God. And we just praise you and we thank you today. Bless every seed that is sown. Multiply it. Bless the sower, Father. Let there just be an influx, even this week, Father, of harvests that are coming in. And we just praise you and we thank you, Lord, that every seed that's sown, Father, is going into good soil, Lord. That we praise you and we thank you that over the blessing even that we give of this church, Father, the tithe that goes forth from us. We just thank you, Father, that it is harvested in Jesus' name and that it will bring such a harvest, it will be that hundredfold, so that we can continue, Father, to be givers. And we just praise you and we thank you for this today in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen.
Praise God, praise God, praise God. Does anybody need some kind of healing in your body? Anybody, just lift your hand if you need some sort of a healing touch of God in your body. Amen. Let's just agree right now. I'm going to read 1 Peter 2:24 as we pray for healing. Saw a couple of hands go up there, so. How many know church is a good place to come to receive healing, to receive anything from the Lord? Amen? But we are one of them churches that just believes what the Bible says about healing. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter 2:24 says this, "He himself bore my sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." Somebody say, "I am healed." Just lift your hands and say, "I receive my healing, spirit, soul, and body. Pain, go in the name of Jesus. Symptoms, go. Viruses, go. Disease, issues, I break your power in the name and by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ." Somebody just thank him. Say, "Lord, I thank you for being my healer today." Just take a deep breath. If there was something that hurt to do, do it. Just say, "Yeah, there, okay, hallelujah. I receive my healing today in Jesus' name." Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord forevermore. Amen. Praise God. Praise God, praise God. Thank you, Pastor Shelley. And thank you guys for the beautiful time of worship. We are blessed to be here at this place and be a part of something God is doing that's special. Amen. Does anybody want, I have one of these CDs up here. It's the Redeemed Life Radio broadcast, our first 13 broadcasts. If you're a CD person, we have three or four, I think, of these left in the back. Make sure you grab one. You can see me or just get it out front. But that's just something to throw in your car. Many of us still actually have CD players in our cars, amen? And I've become more and more, I guess what you call internet, you know, just open it up on the website and listen to it. But I have a lot of CDs, and so I'm going to figure out a way to be able to start playing those CDs in my car too, amen? But Just as you're listening to those, just receive the blessing off of them. There's broadcasts from Mother's Day. There's healing services. Just a number of different things. Blood covenant teaching. Just enjoy that. Praise the Lord. Share it with somebody. Amen. Just don't sell it. I know you, I don't got to say that, amen. But just receive it and be blessed, amen. Well, let's pray over today's message. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen. Another thing to be praying about is I'm feeling stirred to, did any of you see the ad that we put in the paper in May? It was a full-page ad in the Columbian that just said, there's always hope in Jesus, in big letters on the top. And then it was this cool picture of like a trail, like a hiking trail. A lot of people in the Northwest, we like our hikes, especially when I have to social distance, right? And it just said, there's always hope in Jesus. It was like this cool hiking trail, and then our logo at the bottom and the radio broadcast promo at the bottom. Pretty cool, amen? And it's cool because there's this, I just, that day, or the what kind of inspired that is I was just doing my business job during the week, and I walked into an office building and saw that the sky is falling, you know, headline news on the paper. And I was like, you know what, Jesus, we need to do something in the paper. Boom, there it was, right? And this gal at the Columbian, her name is Teresa, and she's just really open to working with us. She likes us. And she's the one, I gave her the concept of it, and she brought like three or four different, hey, we could do this or this or this or this. And it's a $4,000-something ad that they gave to us for $900. Amen. And so I just thought this the other day, I just thought, you know what, Lord, I'm feeling stirred about promoting the church. Not just our church, but the church. Reminding people, get back to church. Get your faith up to be able to go back to church, right? And so I'm seeing this picture of a little country church and the slogan, come to me, in quotes, and then dash Jesus, like we're quoting him, Jesus. Showing people that coming to Jesus, coming to church is coming to Jesus. Amen? And then putting our logo at the bottom again. So, amen. Now the price did go up. That deal is not available now, but she was able to swing it where we can get half page for the same price, which is still huge, right? And so, come on, right? We're just going to believe God, and I'd like to get that done possibly by this next Saturday, because a lot of people, when September is drawing near, are thinking about such things. Back to school, back to church. I remember at New Beginnings, our pastoral staff would say things like, the saints come home in September. Amen. So just be believing for that and praise the Lord. Amen. So who thinks that'd be a good idea? Anybody? Praise the Lord. It's called being a witness, right? And we're not just telling everybody, come to our church, right? Now praise God. And some people might say, well, why are you putting your logo on it? Well, because we're paying for it. If McDonald's is putting an ad out there, they're not going to talk about Burger King. Amen. So yes, we're going to put our logo on our website and so forth, but it just should remind people, wherever you go to church, get back there. Because don't you know, if everybody, all believers in Clark County, Clackamas County, what you know, if they would just start returning to church, getting back to Jesus, man, we're going to continue to see supernatural things in our nation. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, well, today we're going to continue on the message, to him who overcomes. And you might remember last week when we talked about, you know, the church that had left its first love. How many know Jesus ought to be our first love? Amen. And so the overcoming church, the overcoming believer, is in love with Jesus. Amen. First and foremost, we love Jesus. That's why we come to church. Yeah, we love you. We love one another. But the first reason I come to church, the reason I got born again, the reason I say no to sin and yes to righteousness, amen, is one reason. Somebody say one reason. not because hell is hot, not because heaven is nice, which is, and those are good reasons, but how many know sometimes those motivations will last a while, but we got this entire lifespan to deal with. Amen? And so the number one reason that I'm here today, that we're in church today, because the number one reason we're believing God's word, even beyond circumstances, right? One reason, everybody say one reason. I love Jesus. Somebody say, I love him. Amen. So that's what an overcomer, that's what he's writing to him who overcomes. That's number one. We overcome because we love Jesus. Well, today we're going to talk about another thing, but let's start with our foundation text, John 16:13. Now, I entitled this message, of course, it's To Him Who Overcomes is our series, but this particular message, we titled it Faithful Until ... And we'll get back to that, right? But John 16:13 says this, these things I have spoken to you, Jesus said, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Have you noticed there's tribulation in the world? There's trouble, there's pressure, anguish in the world, between races, between genders, you know, male, female, black, white, Hispanic, whatever, you know what I'm saying? The devil just tries to keep pouring out pressure and tribulation and reasons to be mad at people, Democrats, Republicans, whatever, nations, amen? So as long as we're in the world, I mean, health challenges, pressures, family, financial pressure, somebody say pressure, right? So in the world, you will have tribulation, but Jesus says this, be of good cheer. Somebody say, yahoo! I have overcome the world. Oh man, I was watching Eagle Mountain this morning, and just a spirit of victory swept through that place during the worship service. Pastor Terry came up and started dancing around like, you know, the Indians before a war. They're, woo-hoo! The Holy Ghost was just moving on these people. It was wonderful to watch. Amen? And sometimes we just got to remind ourselves, no matter what we're feeling, cheer up. We win. Amen. Somebody say, we win. Read the end of the book. You can actually cheat and go to the end of the book, and you'll find out we win. Amen. Praise the Lord. But as long as we're still in this world, there's room for more. This is not like Noah's Ark, that there ain't no room for nobody else, unless you're a cow or a pig or a horse. No, no, no. Somebody say there's room for more in this ark. Until that trumpet sounds, amen? Until that last time, right? And we in the last days. But somebody say there's still room for more folks, right? So be of good cheer, Jesus says, I have overcome the world. And did you know if Jesus has overcome the world and my faith is in Jesus, then that means I have overcome the world. So when it says to him who overcomes, somebody say he's writing this to me. He's writing this to me. Amen. And as we said, tribulation means pressure, trouble, anguish, to inflict with distress, suffering, or pain. And the devil does a real good job. Religion does a good job. Sometimes, God forgive us, church does a good job of teaching people that God puts tribulation on you to teach you something. Somebody say no. No. Tribulation comes from this world, comes from sin, comes from the devil, comes from myself sometimes, right? So what do? We just remind ourselves, cheer up. If I blew it, if I made a mistake, good news. Somebody say good news. If you're sick, that qualifies you for a healing. If you're poor, that qualifies you for the prosperity gospel of the God. If you've sinned, that qualifies you to get forgiven of that sin. Amen? So, but there's one answer, and who is he again? Jesus. Amen. So we come to him in faith. And that word overcome means to conquer, to prevail, to get the victory. Somebody say, get the victory. Jesus has won the victory. We have to be the ones to maintain the victory, to insist on that victory, to contend for the faith, the victory, right? And not give in when everything looks opposite to the victory, not quit and throw in the towel. Praise the Lord. Now, 1 John 4:1-5 says this. And before we get into it, I remember the scripture where Jesus says, I take no pleasure to him who draws back. Right? We're not of them who draw back. We're of them who press forward, who advance. I love back in my days with New Beginnings, back in the 90s, Pastor Huck would say, we don't have retreats here. We have advances. And they would call it the men's advance, the women's advance. Somebody say, we're advancing. We're not retreating from the devil. We're not hiding from the devil. Amen. Glory to God. But 1 John 4:1-5 says this, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Amen. Just in my pest control job, I'm doing, you know, walking around buildings and condominiums, and there's one property that we have that I always look forward to, where I have to walk around like 40 buildings, and they're on stairs and hills and this kind of stuff. But one, we have to find fun ways to entertain ourselves while we're working sometimes, and so I start counting statues in people's yards. Like, okay, who's going to win? Is it going to be the gnomes? I have like categories, like furry little animals versus the gnomes versus false gods or random gods. And you know, the other day, the random gods ran away with it. Little Buddhas, little, you know, little Cupids. How many know if your angel looks like Cupid, you're in trouble? Right? If your angel is a little naked baby with wings, we're in trouble. Amen. But people put their faith in these random gods that maybe appease to their flesh in some way or whatever. Maybe they were taught something. And they'll even say things like, well, yeah, Jesus can be on your list of random gods. Oh, no. Somebody say only one. Only one, right? So many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this verse 2 here, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. The spirit of the Antichrist is already in the world. Amen? I saw a headline the other day in the newspaper, and it said about this politician, so-and-so calls for unity in the U.S. That sounds kind of like something the Antichrist would say. We're going to bring this world together. Unity. Well, how many know outside of Jesus, there is no peace. There is no unity. And Jesus even said himself, I didn't just come to bring peace, I bring a sword. He's drawn a line in the sand. Who's with me? Somebody say, I'm with you, Lord. I'm with you. Amen? And then he says, verse 4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Listen, this Bible right here, this is the word of God. Amen? There are those who have said, no, you need, this is a good Bible, but it has errors and it's incomplete. And it doesn't apply to 2020. Since when does thou shalt not murder? Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. How does that still apply to 2020? just wondering. Did God in his infinite wisdom already understand what would be happening in 2020 way back before Genesis 1? Yes. Amen. So the Word of God is our first and our final authority in our lives. Amen? Praise the Lord. He who knows God hears us. This is all the prophets, the apostles. He who hears God, or he who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. Now, that's not rocket science. That's not extremely complicated to understand. He who knows God hears us. Here's the word. He who is not of God blocks it out. Amen. And how many of you know the devil knows scriptures too? That's why we have to be smart and know what the Bible says, right? Amen. And not be buying his silly little lies. Amen. But I want to look at the church of Smyrna today in Revelation 2 verses 8 through 11. And I have that in your notes there. Also, if you want to turn someplace, you can go to Revelation 20 because we're going to end with that today. But first, I want to look at Revelation 2, verses 8 through 11. And we've been walking through the different churches that Jesus was speaking to through John from the island of Patmos in the book of Revelation and just gleaning from that. Amen. And you remember last couple of weeks we talked about when he says to the angel of the church of whatever, he's talking about the pastor of that church. And he compares the churches to candlesticks, anointing, light. He calls the pastor stars in his right hand, and Jesus is walking through the candlesticks, things that bring light to the world. Amen? Praise the Lord. So when you think of a candlestick, I think of oil, anointing, right? Light, warmth, welcoming, amen? Bringing light to the house. When you think of a star, you also think of light in the sky, declaring the glory of God. And this is why the devil, again, we talk about false spirits and false prophets, has taken things like candles and tried to make them evil. Or you go see to a seance and they'll light candles. Or you look at some people try to read the stars and tell the future. Right? Astrology. False prophecy. Lies of the devil. Amen? So we know the truth, right? Amen? The stars reflect the light. They don't tell you. They aren't the truth. They're reflecting the light of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. But he says this. Verses 8 through 11 in Revelation 2. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things says the first and the last who was dead and has come to life. So he starts right off on the church of Smyrna declaring, hey, listen, I have overcome death. I experienced it and I'm alive. Did you know Jesus didn't just die physically, he died spiritually? I've had people argue with me about this. Oh, Jesus is you can't kill God. There's a mystery there, okay? We're talking about God the Son. He spent time in hell, church, experiencing hell for 3 days. And then he was raised up again out of hell, church. And if he hadn't have experienced hell, church, I would have to experience hell. So yeah, he died spiritually, he died physically, and he died in the soul. Not just one way. He completely experienced death, the worst kind of death on behalf of humanity. That's why we have such a great salvation. Amen? This is why so many people out there in the world, people that are friends of mine even, that I know of in different faiths, you would call it, I guess, don't believe that heaven is for everyone. Because, well, no, heaven is just reserved for the 144,000 Revelation talks about. We're not good enough. We're not holy enough. We're not righteous enough. You don't understand how bad you are, Steve. How unworthy you are. And you want to say, no, actually, you don't understand what Jesus did on your behalf. When we understand what Jesus did on our behalf, we have no problem receiving a place in heaven for every one of us. Glory to God forevermore. Somebody say, heaven's for me. Heaven is my home. My Father lives in heaven. My Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost, the saints that have gone before me, family members that have gone before me or that are in heaven because of faith in the name and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So he begins with declaring, I'm the first and the last who was dead and came to life. And he goes into this. I know your works, tribulation and poverty. And he says, but you're rich. Somebody say, I'm rich. That's a good confession to make over ourselves every day. I'm rich. I am strong in faith and health, and I'm rich in love and wealth. Just keep saying that. Just keep saying that. That's what Jesus said about us right there. Amen. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Now, Jesus doesn't play. He just cuts right to the quick. Amen. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Uh-oh. What did he say? Do not fear any of those things you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw. Now, who did he say? Not the Jews, not the religious people, not the Democrats. The devil. I love how Jesus reminds us who the enemy is, right? The devil's about to throw. Now, he'll use people to do it, though. Don't mistake that. The devil has to use people to get his job done, just like God has to use people to get his job done in the planet. Amen? The devil's about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Now, at first, that might have sounded, okay, 10 days, we can deal with that. But then he says this, be faithful until death. And I will give you the crown of life. Excuse me, what? So some of us are going to get arrested, thrown into prison, have 10 days of tribulation, and some of us will die. They'll kill us. Yep. But I've overcome that. He said, don't be afraid. Right? Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Now, first of all, let's just make this clear. This kind of thing does not apply to everybody across the board. This is what he said to the church of Smyrna. But there have been believers, even in 2020, believers that are persecuted to the point of losing their lives on this planet. And they get special rewards in heaven. I mean, my. But don't be claiming that for you. Or we're not saying to claim that for you. But this is the point that Jesus wants to bring. Let's finish it up. Verse 11. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. What is he talking about? Remember your old different strokes? What are you talking about, Willis? What is Jesus? Is John just eating too much pepperoni pizza on the island of Patmos, spending too much time by himself? No. Somebody say, this is God. This is God speaking. Right? Amen? Well, this is the key thing that the Lord wants to emphasize to us today. Back it up there to verse 10 when he says this, be faithful until. Be faithful until. See, there's a problem in the body of Christ. I don't know if I say it like this, but we all have our limits of how faithful we'll be to God. I'll be faithful to you, Lord, until someone offends me. I'll be faithful to you, Lord, until there's financial stress. I'll be faithful to you, Lord, until that temptation I like comes along. Now, he's talking to these folks, Smyrna, about death. I'll be faithful to you, Lord, unless it's raining, then I'm staying home. I'll be faithful to you, Lord, unless there's something on television I can't miss. You see what he's saying? Somebody say, Lord, help me. Help me to not have a limit on my faithfulness to you. I'll tell you what, he had no limit on his faithfulness to us. Amen. And I remember when we did Bloodbought, we would teach that Jesus was whipped 39 times because that's the way the Jews would do it, because if you hit 40, the guy may die, and there's 39 root diseases and all that kind of stuff. But as I learned later, it wasn't the Jews that scourged Jesus. It was the Romans. It was Pilate. And there is no limit to how many times they may whip you. They'll whip guys till they die. A lot of men died in that scourging. So the example was, there was no limit to the suffering that Jesus endured on my behalf. So there's no limit of the love that he has. So what he's asking the church today is, where's your limit? Remember all the beer commercials, know your limit. No, that's the game, sorry, casinos. Know your limit. Somebody say no. I remember in pastoral counseling with marriage counseling, and my pastor Brad, a dear mentor of mine back in the day, he would talk about, Steve, I have to watch what I say because my kids are here, right? What's appropriate between you're engaged, what would we say, kissing, hand-holding, what's appropriate? And we talk about it. He'd draw a line on his paper. He goes, what you got to do, Steve, until you're married, is just draw the line as far back as you can. And he says, Steve, what does the preacher tell you at the end of the marriage, at the end of the marriage, he says, now you may kiss. So his point was, Steve, don't even be kissing her until I tell you. He was helping me with my limit, right? Well, with Jesus, where's our limit on our love for the Lord? Right? I'll be faithful to you, Lord, and until they offer me a better position, and then I don't got time really to be, you'll understand, but I don't got time. Somebody say, come on, right? Be faithful until. How about until it hurts? Amen. Sometimes holding on to this when others are letting go of it hurts. Right? When you're standing for something this book says you see clearly, and yet you're not seeing it tangibly, and it's been months, years. Be faithful until the manifestation. Amen. What, you're not being faithful for your breakthrough. You're being faithful to Jesus and his promise. Amen. Glory to God. Somebody say, I'm faithful. There is no limit to my faithfulness to you, Lord. And the Holy Ghost is helping us to stretch and to grow. And it's very, 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 very unlikely, thanks be to God for the nation we live in, that any of us would have to deal with someone chopping off our head because of our faithfulness to Jesus. They might come at you in social media. They might poke at you at school. They might poke at you in business, whatever. Ouch. Right? But somebody say, I'm faithful, Lord. I call me faithful in the name of Jesus. But when he says this, I want to close with this. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. And again, my son Lane asked me a question yesterday during his devotions about end times and second death and all that kind of stuff. And I didn't realize that would be the subject of today's message, because he's been reading through Revelation as well. But in Revelation chapter 20, this is the chapter that deals with what the second death is. And so it's only 15 verses, so I'm just going to read it to you. We got time. Amen. But this is what I want you to see kind of in a sort of a timeline. There's a rapture of the church. Then there's a tribulation period, a seven-year period. Then they all get ready to attack Israel, the world, a lot of the nations of the world. We come back with Jesus. save Israel, and we rule and reign with Jesus for 1,000 years. Right? That's where it says in the Bible that one single, that's what we were talking about, one single angel is going to chain up the devil and throw him into the abyss for 1,000 years. And it's funny because I was like, Satan is one of three archangels. He's, of course, a fallen angel. Hello, Lucifer. But there's Michael and Gabriel. I was like, man, I bet it's going to be Michael. Isn't it cool that God isn't even going to give him the time of day? Michael, chain him up and throw him in the hole, right? Enough. Right? And Lane's like, wouldn't it be cool, Dad, if this is some no-name angel? Because they don't even need Michael for this. And maybe God points at Michael, and Michael says, hey, Guido, the new kid over there, go ahead and chain him up and throw him into the pit. Amen, right? And then we rule and reign with Jesus for 1,000 years. It boggles the mind to think, even during that time period, there will be people who reject him, who won't believe him, who won't turn. Unbelievable. And then after that 1,000-year reign, that's when this happens. Somebody say, that's when this happens. Okay? Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan. Isn't it interesting that Satan is compared to a dragon, a serpent, right? And bound him for 1,000 years, okay? And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more. Somebody say, no more, till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. Isn't it interesting? So even this is not the end. And so many people think, you know, the suicide, if I do something terrible and then kill myself, I'm going to be free of the consequences. Oh, no. No, 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 no. Jesus says you ought to be concerned about the second death if you're not born again. Amen? These are real things, right? And set a seal on him so he should not deceive nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Now listen to me, church. I believe this is us. Thrones. Jesus is king of, say it, king of kings and lord of lords. Amen. This is, again, post-rapture, after the rapture, right? Then I saw souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God. This is during the tribulation period, right? Who had not worshiped the beast or his image. Now listen to me. It's not a science fiction movie anymore to think that they could put a computer chip on my forehead or in my wrist because money is dirty. Has anyone heard this lately? Money is dirty. We don't accept cash. It's just setting up. It's absolutely setting the stage for what this world is coming to. Amen? I mean, it gives me chills to think about it. Amen? And when you think of, they're standing guard to make sure you wear your mask. Right? Now, praise God for that. But how, if we... And not to say that that's evil, okay? But stay in your house. You're killing people if you dare leave your house. I was in a meeting last spring, or fall, spring, and a lady from the health department spoke at our meeting, and she said, the job of the health department is to make you afraid of disease. And boy, that jumped out at me. Somebody say, don't be afraid. While we're doing what we got to do. Now, see, I'm also not saying that all these churches that we hear about that are, oh, you don't need to wear a mask and we're just going to hug each other and, you know, forget all that devil stuff out there. No, this is a public health issue that we're dealing with. but we're not dealing with it in fear. And we're also not being stupid. Have you ever heard of this thing called the wisdom of God? Amen, right? And we also aren't the church that's going to shut our doors forever until there's a cure. We are afraid of it. We're hiding from it. Somebody say no. Wisdom of God, okay? But it's going to be, if it's hard for people now, so I guess is what I'm saying, how hard will it be when they tell you, you cannot come into Walmart, forgive me for using Walmart's name, any store, unless you can't buy anything here unless you have the mark. Unless we can scan your forehead. I'm just going to say this. They're already scanning people's foreheads right now in some places. Oh, yep. You don't have a fever. You can see how the world's system is getting people used to them scanning you. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm on the first plane. I'm on the first plane out of here. Glory to God. And all the more reason to preach the gospel. To preach the gospel to the world. To put an ad in the newspaper. Come on, amen? To have the building open. Because right now, the doors are open for people to get saved. Amen? Amen. So it says this, again in verse 4. Who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. So these are the people that missed the rapture and realized, Eureka, it was real. And they downright refuse to take the mark. Many will hide off in the wilderness. Others will just run right to it. Yep, okay, off of their head, whatever they do. Amen? And these people will be, receive a reward in heaven for what they did. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Okay? But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. Now, we're not talking about believers here. We're talking about unsaved people, right? This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Somebody say, that's me, right? Over such, the second death has no power. But they shall be the priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison. Now, can you imagine this? We're all still ruling and reigning on the planet, and they release the devil again. I'm sorry, it just sounds like Star Trek or something, you know? But this is real, right? And will go out and deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, another battle, right? Whose number is as the sand of the sea. Can you imagine this many people still anti-Jesus? And they went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, coming against Jerusalem again, Israel, right? And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Remember the first battle, Jesus says a word. This one, the Father. He just says, done, right? The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, verse 11, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Somebody say, there's a new heaven and a new earth. I'm not talking about heaven where God, I'm talking about the sky, space, everything, this planet. God has to fix it. Somebody say, this is where that happens, right? I saw a great white throne. Okay, we'll skip down verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. Somebody say, uh-oh. Now, we're not talking about Christians. I've had so many Christians that think this is for them. No. If you're born again, you are washed in the blood. There is no record of your sin. This may sound goofy. Even if someone dies in the act of a sin and they're saved, they're born again, man. They're going to heaven. There will be no record of that. Somebody say, no record. Books are open. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which are written in the books. I heard about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, a really, really super wealthy guy passed away. I won't tell you who it is because it doesn't matter. But I really felt the Lord speak up in my heart. And I was like, Lord, was he saved? Was he born again? And I heard the Lord speak in my spirit. He said this. He thought his good works would save him. Somebody say, it don't matter how many charities you give to, how many nonprofits you help, if you're not born again, it's all for loss. Amen? According to their works, by the things which are written in the books. I don't know about you, but I do not want to be judged according to my works. I want to be judged according to his works, to the work that Jesus did on my behalf. And that's what it is to be born again. The sea gave up the dead who are in it. Somebody say, there's no hiding from the presence of God. Even people that died in explosions, eaten by sharks, buried underground, fell in a volcano, who knows? God knows where every molecule of every person who ever lived in the history of the world is. And at that moment, every one of them is coming together before God. For the folks I'm talking about that were not born again. In the rapture, the physical remains of believers are coming together. Now that's going to be the graves busting open and all. Hallelujah, right? Good luck explaining that one, Antichrist, right? He'll find a way, right? He'll make up something. We've got to come together and unify. And all you need is this little mark. Let's go. Mercy, right? The sea gave up the dead. We're wrapping up, I promise. Who were in it? And death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. So death and Hades are basically a holding tank. This isn't even the final disaster that people are going to experience who are not born again. Now, keep in mind of this, church, hell was not built for people. Hell was built for Satan and his angels. People only go there one way, rejecting Jesus Christ. That's it. We only escape it and get into heaven one way, accepting the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done. Amen? You'll never be good enough to earn heaven. And this may rub a religious bone wrong. You'll never be bad enough to deserve hell. Only one thing. Saying no to Jesus. Somebody say yes. Oh, Lord, I say yes to you. I say yes to you, Jesus. Amen. I like this. I don't know about you, but I like this body. I'm learning to I'm turning 50 next year, and I'm reminding my body, oh, I like you. I like you. We're going to be together for a really long time, and I'm going to make sure you're not burning forever. Amen, right? Glory to God. Verse 13, the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades, verse 14, were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone, oh my goodness, verse 15. Anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Somebody say it's good to be saved. It's good. It's good to be born again. This is the second death. Now, as we close here, back to Revelation 2, verse 10 and 11. Do not fear. Somebody say, do not fear. Any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison. You may be tested. You will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death. Somebody say, be faithful. Be faithful. I was talking to a young man about this week. And he's kind of hopped around different things in his life and churches and jobs. And said, brother, what's God calling you to do? What's God calling? Oh, I don't know. I think he might be calling me to preach, but I don't want to be like everyone else out there. I was like, brother, you know what separates the gifted and talented from the real deal? Faithfulness. Will you be faithful? There's a lot of talented and gifted people out there, but they're not faithful. Somebody say, Lord, I choose to be faithful to you in every area of my life, in every area of my life. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. I'll tell you what. Even amongst born-again people, this is what Lane and I were talking about yesterday, there, I see in the Bible, there are levels of rewards for people that get saved, and people that get saved and then become a disciple of Jesus, right? People that obey his voice and are faithful to him, there are great rewards for the body of Christ who will choose to be faithful to Jesus. Amen? So, you've heard many say, well, I'll get around to getting saved, but there's still some good weed out there, too many good-looking women, too much money to make on Sundays. Somebody say, be faithful. Be faithful to your first love. That's who this is written to. Those who love Jesus, those who are faithful. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be walking the fine line of rapture ready or not. Because I am a pastor, but I don't know it all. Amen? So somebody say, I am going to be rapture ready. I don't want to be like on the fringe. And the angels are like, should I grab him? Well, he's got one foot in and one foot out. Yeah, grab him. Grab. Somebody say, I'm faithful. I am faithful to you, Jesus, and there are no limits to my faithfulness to you. He who has an ear, verse 11, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Somebody say, that's me. He who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. Amen? Let's all pray. Go ahead and stand up on your feet this morning. Let's just thank the Lord for his word to us today. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands and thank him and thank him and thank him and thank him. Lord, we thank you that your word is true. We thank you for your great love for us, Lord, for your great faithfulness to us. And we choose today to declare we will be faithful to you, Lord. There are no limits. Just say this, there are no limits to my faithfulness to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And maybe there's somebody listening later online or in another method, and you're kind of almost freaking out a little bit because you want to be ready for the rapture, and you don't, this is just like, what is this? Well, you just pray this prayer with me right now. Just say, Father God, I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. I confess my sins to you now. I repent of my sins, and I make Jesus Lord of my life. I turn from my sins to my Savior today. And I love you, Lord. And I thank you that I'm heaven bound from now on in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen.